This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be visiting with David Morton. David's sort of a fascinating entrepreneur. He is of the Morton's family, the Morton's restaurant family. So Morton's restaurants, DMK Burgers, I believe Found, and a ton of other restaurants have been developed by their family. But they're also in several other businesses where they serve the service, the hospitality industry, with large private equity funds, large companies, Morgan Stanley, Nuveen, Bernardo, a whole number of different firms. And he's built a fascinating business with restaurants originally at the core of it, but now all kinds of other things related to restaurants. He's also worked with a lot of financing type vehicles and services. It's just a pleasure to visit with David today. David, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm David Morton, and I own a company called DMK, or DMK Restaurants, as it's known in certain cases, which is a hospitality platform that we've got kind of a few different verticals within that operates in Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., and Las Vegas.
And talk about the different verticals. I mean, I certainly know, you know, the restaurants that you've developed, your family's developed, and so forth. But talk about the verticals in DMK and what you're doing, and a little bit about what you're doing in more depth.
Of course. So the first vertical is our advisory business. Within our advisory practice, we advise very large, sophisticated public and or kind of institutional investors on how to use strategies and tactics associated with hospitality to enhance their real estate. So, for example, we work with companies like Morgan Stanley and Nuveen, also known as the Teachers Union, TIAA-CREF. We work with Vornado, who's a publicly traded REIT, University of Notre Dame's endowment, et cetera, who have really spectacular signature assets across the country and are seeking our counsel on how to reimagine it in a way that drives relevance from a tenancy perspective. The second vertical is management. Obviously, you know, we are, which is kind of our core business, which is, you know, oven related to the day-to-day operations of restaurants. There's a lot to running restaurants. I often remind people within our organization that it's, you know, one of the only industries, if not the only industry, where every day you're in the purchasing, receiving, manufacturing, marketing, public relations, and, you know, I can go on and on business. So it's very dynamic. There's lots of moving parts associated with it.
On the management side, let me just ask you a question, David. On the management side, is it a la carte management? Is it complete outsourced management services? How does that look in the management of the restaurant business?
So, basically, like kind of that first vertical is really about, you know, ultimately building intellectual property. And then, you know, through the management avenue itself, we kind of bring it to life. You know, within the management kind of component itself, the management kind of vertical itself, we're Chicago-based. So we kind of, you know, use Chicago as kind of our hub for training and development. As I often joke within the company, if we don't spend all of our time training, we will spend all of our time training. And we've got an incredible platform for doing so. Through COVID, which has obviously been an interesting time for us in the industry, we've really tried to kind of reorient ourselves from a technology standpoint to imagine kind of new outcomes in the world of management from not only an efficiency standpoint, but also to conform to kind of an evolving consumer taste with how folks have become more familiar and comfortable with technology in restaurants. And the third vertical is basically licensing. So, you know, we have intellectual property. We have an opportunity to manage them. Not in every case are we the manager of intellectual property, and we license to third parties on a very select basis for, you know, various applications. So that kind of in its totality is what we do. There are other offshoots of the company We have a technology division where we actually build technology. One of our kind of primary pieces of technology that we're in the process of rolling out is a platform called JOGG, J-O-G-G. Our website for it is gojog.com. And it's a kind of, it's a courier, it's a service platform that uses an app that we've developed that has kind of the indexing of Amazon and the kind of delivery component that people have become used to if it's from, you know, Grubhub or otherwise, but it's agnostic. It doesn't necessarily require food. And it's how to get goods and services around within kind of commercial campuses in a way that's kind of high touch, high service. And a real estate business and a lot of other things that are kind of other, you know, vertical and horizontal integrations that we have to kind of have a full kind of little, you know, internal ecosystem.
Let me ask you a question. Are you still actually in the restaurant business itself or more in all these different verticals that tie into and touch the restaurant business too?
Well, we're very much, I mean, we are definitively like mostly in the restaurant business as people would kind of, you know, normally think about it from the outside kind of, you know, kind of guest perspective, we're very much a restaurant company. We, however, unbeknownst to most people that interact with our brands, that we are, you know, a little bit less mom and pop and you know, kind of local operators. As we are kind of platform developer and builders that we do share with the public, obviously, through the sale of food and beverage.
Magnificent. And how did you end up institutionalizing what you do from sort of the, you know, original business to what you do today? What was that evolution like? Did you guys look at outside capital, not look at outside capital, and can answer it or not answer it? But just tell me about the evolution of the business for sure. And then you can tell me if you want to talk about outside capital and those kinds of things too.
Sure. So, you know, I mean, I think it's been mostly just about being somewhat opportunistic. And, you know, as I say, just answering the phones. And, you know, where we'd started from a much, much different place, which is a very traditional restaurant orientation. That really, you know, wanted to be at the time a business that was rethinking casual dining. And it's still very much who we are. And, you know, wanted kind of the qualitative ethos of, you know, some of our favorite or others' favorites, premium brands, but more available to, you know, folks on a daily basis. And also kind of getting things smaller, i.e. more scalable. So we are asking ourselves questions of, you know, how can we get the physical plant smaller? How do we get the capital, you know, budget smaller? And, you know, let these things fit into, how do we let our thoughts fit into places that are smaller such that we can have more of them? And I think really where kind of things started to pivot a little bit was when we were awarded the contract with Soldier Field to be their premium restaurant partner for the Bears. And, you know, what part of the attraction, I think, to DMK was, not only did they want, you know, some of the intellectual property from some of the brands, but they were really interested in understanding more about kind of hospitality can play a larger role in the stadium at large. And it kind of flourished from there. Our first other kind of large, you know, kind of quote unquote client or partner was Vornado. You know, it was really a very black tie, incredibly prestigious organization out of New York that said, hey, we've never been in the restaurant business. We don't really want to be in it, but we want to partner with you guys to understand kind of how to do it and add it to, and, you know, one context, the first context was to the Merchandise Mart in Chicago. And then it evolved basically. And initially, you know, from a financing perspective, I actually come from a finance background and was doing that prior for some time. And I enjoy that part of the business. And so the original kind of iteration of it was kind of investor-backed from a retail basis, applying some kind of portfolio theory to restaurants. So we believed that restaurants were not a good idea to invest in, that they were obviously highly risky and had kind of, you know, variant outcomes that could be difficult to predict, even in spite of expertise. We did, however, feel like if you followed a certain formula, for how it is that you made the investment and applied it to a portfolio of restaurants, that you can have a pretty realistic batting average in the context of kind of how restaurants often tend to work out, and have really great returns. And so that's kind of where it started, and I charged a lot of our early growth for the first kind of 5+ years. Started to become a bit suspect of the market in general because our model didn't call for batting 1,000, but we found ourselves batting 1,000 after we finished investing our first fund. And that to me was exciting, and obviously it was great for investors, but it made me feel a little bit like, you know, how maybe somebody felt investing in the NASDAQ, you know, in, you know, 98 to 2000, where everybody's a winner. And sure. So as good fortune would have it, and the market was pivoting and there became, you know, huge demand for these other types of work in addition to our core business. That's how things grew out of and took on various tentacles from all angles and what it is that we do as a company today.
Fascinating. Do you still have a restaurant fund today? Do you guys still have funds today?
We don't have an active. Well, I mean, we're obviously amid managing a series of funds. We don't have one that's kind of currently open, you know, from an investor perspective. It is a really interesting time to obviously be looking out in the landscape. We have done a little bit of, you know, looking to be, you know, candidate into the SPAC market, and maybe looking for some more, you know, larger format. Products that we can be thinking about is, a lot of kind of what I've thought from the beginning is, you know, no different than any other kind of traditional finance. If you don't know what your edge is, you don't have one. And if you don't have an edge, especially in the restaurant business or the hospitality space, I really wouldn't recommend it. So, I mean, the space right now is riddled with edge, obviously, because there's so much distress out there. So, you know, we've thought about various things, but meanwhile, the phones have been ringing off the hook from the institutional space. Is there's also a place for amenities, as, you know, companies and real estate firms are wondering how it is that they're going to attract and retain tenants in their commercial properties. And that's really kind of been consuming most of our time as we're in the process right now of developing about 100,000 feet nationwide of new projects. So we're the busiest we've ever been, and so therefore, you know, just kind of doing.
I'm sure. So, right. So in terms of investing in building new restaurants, it seems to take a back seat to that. Let me ask you a question on the restaurant space, because everybody, of course, you know, the COVID era, extremely difficult for restaurants. There's all these stats about 50% of all restaurants are going to close. I don't know what that number is of restaurants that actually did close and close permanently. Maybe you have a better sense of that number. You have a much better thing on the pulse than I do. But what does that recovery look like? I mean, how quickly will restaurants recover? Will projects be built? What do you see out there in terms of what percentage of restaurants might have closed, and what's the recovery look like?
Yeah, so from it's an interesting question and a great question from several vantage points. I mean, if you look pre-COVID, that was a really unusual landscape, which really magnifies kind of, you know, the nature of the outcome that you're asking about. So obviously we're coming off, you know, a long stretch of kind of what I've called and others have called this kind of Amazon effect, right? Which is basically the complete destruction of the retail space. And back in the day, you know, landlords at the very bottom of their kind of hierarchy of needs or desires from a tenant perspective, the absolute last thing they wanted was a restaurant. But as boutiques and all of the local stores and such folded, unfortunately, due to Amazon and similar platforms, restaurants became the first and in many cases only choice. And so effectively what ended up happening was, if you looked at any population or demographic delta, you know, or change in any kind of market relative to the number of seats that were happening, almost every market that we were looking at was completely out of whack. So the rate at which any market was adding additional restaurant seats relative to population change was completely distorted. And so we were been looking for some type of pretty severe correction for some time. Of course, we didn't realize COVID was coming, needless to say. And, you know, so what I think the market's done is basically just done the work that needed to happen, but in a much faster period of time. there's lots of different numbers that you'll see out there, because I think that, you know, the news is still kind of breaking, so to speak. But, you know, certainly north of a third of restaurants, you know, are permanently closing or closed. PPP and government relief has certainly also been a great aid to the survival. It would have been much, much, much worse in that context. And from a recovery standpoint, you know, it's a little bit of it's brought back some themes that were really somewhat forgotten, in my opinion, and kind of pushed aside in just the hurry of life and the hurry of time and things and technology. But basically, now if you look at kind of where things appear from a revenue recovery standpoint, pre-COVID versus today, you'll have the greatest amount of recovery has occurred and is in the process of recurring close is a function of proximity to residential real estate. So in other words, more central urban business districts, right, are they going to be the last to recover and are the have been the slowest to recover, certainly within our portfolio and I would imagine probably anybody's portfolio.
So here's my last question, and it's a fascinating perspective. Of course, for those that are in the restaurant business, never thought about it in terms of like the number of seats in restaurants compared to a population in terms of how that impacts the ability to get the restaurant full and busy and so forth, and just too much capacity in many places and a massive pressure on COVID. So here is the last question, David. I mean, you're from a restaurant family and restaurant genius. What is your favorite restaurant, family's favorite restaurant to eat at? Where do you guys love to eat? And of course it could be a Morton's brand of some sort, or it could be something else. And take a moment, just tell the audience real quickly, what are some of the brands in what was traditionally your family's portfolio? Do you mind talking about that for 1 second?
Of course not. Yeah, no, I'm super proud of it, obviously. So, so I am several generations down the tree. My great-grandfather was the first that we know of in the industry who had a little saloon up in Michigan. There's some family photos that have horse and buggies outside of it. My grandfather, on my father's side, was in the business and opened his version of Morton's, but not what is known as Morton's today. It was in Hyde Park on the south side of Chicago. And also something that started with fairly modest aspirations, but became really, you know, fairly iconic in its own right, you know, going back to, you know, like the 1930s. And then my father did a ton of restaurants and had so many concepts in his time. He became most well known for founding Morton's, as well as other things like the Taste of Chicago. He sold that company. He sold the Morton's company back in 1988. It's been in a variety of different hands. It's currently owned by Landry's. Otherwise, other family brands are Hard Rock Cafe, a number of properties out in Las Vegas, including one that we just opened recently called One Steakhouse, and some local kind of Chicago-based casual brands like DMK Burger Bar. And from an eating and kind of what we like to do from a family perspective, like anybody else, I think it's a little bit based on the occasion. We're actually really casual and fairly simple family. Like speaking for myself, obviously love food, love service and hospitality, love everything that restaurants represent. But like to also just enjoy them as a civilian, as I would call it, right? And so we're not really, but my father, it's funny, used to really like to take me back in the day to McDonald's, which would probably sound fairly shocking.
So give us one restaurant that you and your family will go to once in a while. It could be anywhere, it could be a local restaurant, it could be any place. Give us one restaurant, any restaurant. Besides McDonald's.
Sure. I mean, so like there's one that's like, that my wife and I go to that's within walking distance of our house in our neighborhood outside of Chicago. It's a little casual pizza, salad, pasta place called Union in Evanston, Illinois. And we eat there probably in some capacity to get to our house or, you know, or we go there probably once a week.
Magnificent, magnificent. That's what we're looking for. Thank you so much. The anyways, David Moore's a magnificent career, magnificent business acumen. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.